Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
In 2017, life as we knew it came to a screeching halt when production on Sex and the City 3, the movie, was unceremoniously and abruptly shut down. 3 years later, it was announced in 2020 that a Sex and the City reboot was in the works. However, the reboot is not actually a third movie, and thus my journey continues. On this podcast, I will be doing what many believe to be the undoable. I will be saving Sex and the City 3. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Saving Sex and the City 3. I'm here today with a true superstar, actor, writer, comedian, and co-host of the hilarious podcast Seek Treatment. Ever heard of it? It's Pat Reagan.
Hi. I'm none of those things. I'm none of those things. But thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited.
I'm so excited. I feel like we have a little bit of like news to cover in the world of And Just Like That.
Totally. I don't identify as like following And Just Like That as closely as some gays and women are following it. But I might not even be up on the like latest new thing.
Well, I it's my job to really be following, and it's like I can't escape it now.
Totally.
Like it follows me kind of wherever I open a browser. There's some sort of And Just Like That news.
It's crazy how the internet like can figure out what you want to see. And now when you open up your browser, it gives you those thumbnails, and it's sad sometimes to see what they are. Like mine will be like, this challenge star is officially bisexual, and I'm like, oh my god, okay. Thanks.
You're like, amazing. Dreams coming true. So Sarah Jessica Parker was pictured in an outfit. I don't know if you saw her like kind of farmery looking dress that was over. It was like a really psychotic Carrie Bradshaw.
I don't think I've seen that one yet.
Okay, I'm just going to have to message you a photo of it. So the look was wild. And then on top of the wild look.
Wait, is it in the chat?
It turned out. I'm just going to message it to you now in the chat.
Coolie.
I'm just giving you the preface.
Oh, I see. Sorry.
It's crazy. And then it turned out that this dress she was wearing was Forever 21.
Oh, my God.
And that felt shocking.
Oh, my God. This is crazy. I think that, you know, like, it's funny going in knowing it's Forever 21. I'm like, okay, sure. You know what I mean? But I can't imagine going in not thinking it was 21, what my mind would have done, the backflips my mind would have done when I had found out.
It was a lot. It's been mental gymnastics. Like, at first I was like, do I love this or hate this? And then I was like, I guess I love it. And then I found out it was Forever 21, and then I'm really confused.
I almost never like her fashion. I hope that's okay to say. I almost never do for some reason. It always, to me, is a little try hard, you know what I mean?
And Carrie Bradshaw specifically,
I guess, yeah. And maybe like at this point it's one of those things where it's like I cannot and will not and refuse to separate the artist from the art. And so it's like Sarah and it's Carrie, and I'm also like not like a fashion gay, you know what I mean? So like I make the worst choices anyways, and I never know what's good anyways. But I don't like when it seems like someone's like trying to shock me or something, you know what I mean? I feel like pandered to or something.
Yeah, Carrie's fashion, like, it's been an evolution for me, because I think when I was 20, I was like, she is goals, like, literally the best, the most fashionista I've ever seen in my life. And then now, knowing that we have incredibly different bodies, and it's just, like, just a non-starter, I'm like, okay, that's cute for her, but, like, I could never.
Totally. I always think of, like, when she was chasing the bus, and, like, her abs, like, literally the day after she gave birth. She was, like, chasing a bus with a six-pack, like, for, like, a season premiere. You know what I mean? I always think of that. But, yeah.
She's been abs and, like, perky boobs her entire life. There's never been a day where, even when she was pregnant, I believe that there were abs.
Yeah, she's the first pregnant. He's the first pregnant baby bump with abs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that was, like, there's been wild outfits. And then I read some Daily Mail article that said that And Just Like That is definitely going to get a second season and that Kim is welcome back anytime.
Oh my
God. I was truly skyrocketed off the face of the planet.
Can you tell me what you, like, what happened with Chris Noth? Like, didn't he, like, make a public statement that was, like, I think the story of Big has been told, and I think we can all let that character rest in peace. And then, like, next second, he's, like, on set flipping cheeseburgers, working craft services.
Yeah, he came out and said, like, he was like, we've reached the end of the line. But then I guess Michael Patrick King or someone took him aside and told him, like, there are many places that Big can still go. So he was like, okay.
It's so funny because I don't even necessarily count Big as a character so much as, like, a symbol of something, or you know what I mean? I'm like, I'm never like
an entity.
I don't always feel that Big contains multitudes. And so I'm like, yeah, sure. Like, maybe there's, when he said that, I was like, yeah, there's probably no other places to take that character, but there never were, you know what I mean? And you just, like, be in a suit and be, like, kind of a dick sometimes, but nice sometimes. And, like, your job is to kind of shed light on, like, what about when someone's kind of hot, but kind of a dick sometimes, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I wonder if Chris Noth, like, does a lot of, like, character preparation for Big, like, how seriously he takes this role.
Totally.
Because isn't he a star of, like, a Law and Order show or something?
Yeah, and but that got canceled, right? Isn't that, like, what happened?
I have no way. I haven't kept up with his career, like, moves outside of Sex and the City so much.
You have to. It's my, what if I was like, Chris Noth's career outside of Sex and the City is my sports.
You're like, yes, Law and Order, SVU, CSI, or whatever.
Oh my God, was he on Criminal Intent? That was a really bad one.
Oh, maybe he was.
That was a really bad one.
I don't know. I really haven't delved into, like, a Law and Order vibe, but I just know, yeah, I just know Chris from SATC. So, I mean, I hope that Big's character, like, I hope he wins an Emmy, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
A Golden Globe.
Imagine, that would be a beautiful story. Oh God. Yeah. I'm I can't believe they're bringing, I'm sure you've talked about all this already.
It's like, I come around, I'm always in conversation,
totally.
But I like to take other people's temperature because I find it to be an endlessly fascinating.
Yeah, I said to my boyfriend the other day, I think I do like, it's interesting to me, I think, that they've chosen to bring Natasha back because it's so random, you know what I mean? Like, we've never seen, like, of all the random people I could have brought back, like, I do feel like there was a huge BCC email sent by Sarah being like, hey, like, who would be, like, down to come back? You know what I mean? And, like, eight people said yes, and she's like, okay, these are my choices. But, I'm glad to see Natasha back. I always kind of liked her, and I want to see, like, what's up. I'll always remember this line where when Carrie was going to see her at the brunch, and she was like, so if I wear these heels and she wears flats, I should be almost at eye level with her. But why would she wear flats? And for some reason, that line, like, gave me chills.
I just rewatched that episode recently, and it didn't disappoint.
Yeah.
And her, like, weird plaid Manolo Blahnik, mm-hmm. like, pastel plaid shoes, which have things that Carrie has worn have gone from, like, so cute to hideously ugly to back to, like, really cute.
And that's the sign.
It's amazing.
That's a sign of a truly amazing television show.
Indeed. So for anyone that's just tuning in for the first time, here's the gist. I have a guest on. I give them the opportunity to come up with, like, a log line for each of the four girls for what their vision of the movie Sex and the City 3 or, like, the series would be. And then we kind of go back to the beginning and build it together from there. So with that, I just want to pass the buck to you and let you do your magic.
Totally, totally. Okay, so Miranda, I think her storyline is she's, like, gonna go on one of those shows, like, alone or something, and she's, like, trying to become a survivalist. So she's trying to learn how to survive alone in the woods. And so, and what does that mean for her love life? And we'll throw that in. And
obsessed with, I love Alone. I'm a huge Alone head. So this speaks to me.
I just started watching Alone like a month ago, but I had to stop because a lot of times, like when it's, a lot of times for my TV, it's, I need something to do while I'm eating. And that's like what I do. But Alone, they do eat, they skin and eat quite a few squirrels, and it's hard to eat your sandwich while they're skinning a squirrel and eating it. So I had to move away from Alone. But Miranda does want to go on Alone, and she's like part of the survivalist community. And yeah, I think like, I think in this, maybe her and Steve like are not together, and she's kind of like unsure what's next. And then Charlotte is dropping a single, and so she just like is finally letting herself fully like explore her, that side of herself. Like, she's always wanted to sing. She's always felt like she was a good singer. She said, much like a housewife, she says things like, am I Mariah Carey? No, but I can carry a tune and I love to sing. So why not record a song? And so that, her journey is very much around that, entering the music industry late in life. And Samantha, I want to be sought out by like a biological relative that she never met, but it's like not that big of a deal, but it is for her, like a biological niece or something. And the biological niece like kind of wants a lot from her emotionally, and she's kind of like, can I give this to this person, and can I be the person my niece needs me to be? And then Carrie, much like the first movie, I kind of want her to have an assistant, but I want the assistant to be like kind of suspicious, and she's not sure if it's, I'm open to it being a spy, a robot, a clone, or like an imposter of some sort. And it's almost like aliasy, like she's, and this assistant basically is kind of like a bounty hunter and wants her dead, kind of. And it's kind of this like Mr. and Mrs. Smith game of cat and mouse between like Carrie and her assistant.
I love that. It's intrigue. It's noir. It's a bit single white female.
Totally.
Okay. I'm fully in. Could the assistant also be Samantha's niece?
Oh my God. That could be very interesting. Yeah, it could be Samantha's true niece. Okay. I know Samantha's storyline definitely is the weakest of the four. I wonder.
Maybe it's like, yeah, I wonder if like we could make it. I mean, I'm open to her niece coming back and then Samantha being like, there's a reason I never had kids. Like, what are you doing here?
Totally. There's a reason.
Like, I haven't talked to my siblings in years. Like, what do you want?
I don't. Yeah. There's a reason I never had kids. There's a reason I never even had siblings. And it's because I didn't want a niece. And now here you come out of nowhere. And the niece is like, I don't want anything from you. All I want is a relationship with you and for you to acknowledge me. And Samantha's like, I'm going to need some time. Because I've made a life for myself and that life does not involve you right now. And then he's just like, I'm willing to go slow. And Samantha's like, let's just take this really slow then.
I actually love Samantha and Carrie having these like younger people that are coming to them like wanting stuff, and I'm open to them being different people. It's a chance for their characters to relate.
Totally.
Which I think would be really good for Kim and SJP.
Totally. It's like, meanwhile, while Samantha's 22-year-old niece was asking her for help with her resume, my 22-year-old imposter intern was trying to shoot me in the neck or something like that.
Yeah, and they can all go out for like, they take their niece interns for double dates and stuff.
Totally. Like,
it's a chance for them to bond. Okay, so I see this. I also think like maybe Steve passed away.
Oh.
And Miranda had to like figure out a new hobby to get her mind off of him, so that's why she's into survivalism.
Yes, and the show / movie will really lean into this metaphor of like learning how to live alone, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. they'll think they're basically winning like a Pulitzer Prize for literature for like kind of having a metaphor about being alone, you know, like they're like, but Miranda realized the only thing she needed to survive was herself. You know what I mean?
Okay, I'm seeing a way that this metaphor could also play out with all the characters, where like that's Miranda's journey. Charlotte Maybe Charlotte is in like some sort of girl group, but she has to break out and like have a solo career.
Totally.
Or something.
Yeah.
And she has to learn how to navigate like the cutthroat music industry as like a 50-year-old woman alone.
And what she's most afraid of is actually upsetting other people like in the group. Like basically she has all these other offers and she's like, I can't let myself do that because, you know, Janine will be so annoyed that I'm the breakout star and I'm taking on her emotional baggage. And she needs to figure out that like Janine is responsible for her own journey. And if she's like a true friend, she'll be happy for me being this breakout star. And so that can be charged almost like an Al-Anon-y like journey towards like independence.
More codependency. Yeah, with my independence.
Girl,
I think
with my girl group mates. No more codependency with my girl group mates for once.
Yeah, she's in like a what? It's like One Direction, but it's all like 50 something.
Totally. Now we are getting we're getting a little too close for comfort to the plot of Girls Five Ever.
Okay, yeah, that I was gonna say. Maybe we need to back it up.
Okay. But, okay. Well,
we can think on that.
We'll think on this.
And then Carrie's, she just has to survive because this assistant wants her dead and will stop at nothing to like destroy her.
Totally.
Destroy every element of her life.
Yes, yes.
And then Samantha just has to like cope with having a close relationship with someone because that sucks the life out of her to just be like, intimate.
Yes.
Like just friend, like platonically intimate with someone.
And I kind of want the show to treat it like it's so much drama. Like Samantha shows up for brunch and she's like, so I just met my biological niece. And literally people like drop their silverware. Like someone does the spit take and is like, honey, are you okay? That's heavy shit. And she's like, I'm not okay, but I'm gonna be. Mm-hmm. Erica Jane.
She's like, it's killing me. It's slowly killing me. She shows up for brunch with like her hair in like a messy bun and they're like, what's wrong? And she's like, we had to go to dinner last night. And it's like even the smallest amount of like intimacy causes her to just like fall apart at the seams.
She's like, it's slowly killing me. And Carrie's like, well, at least it's slowly. My assistant tried to slice me in the neck with a butcher's knife. And then they all laugh and roll their eyes, of course.
Perfect. Okay, so I think we open, obviously, on the beautiful, gleaming city of New York.
Mm-hmm.
The sun's shining. Like, everyone's running around in the street, hailing cabs. High heels are click-clacking across the pavement. But then do we just start in on, like, a funeral?
That could be fun because kind of like that, like this, how the second one starts with the gay wedding. This one can kind of start with Steve's funeral. And Eliza also is performing at this though because she like has a relationship with the girls from the wedding. So, so Eliza is performing, Say Something, I'm Giving Up on You instead of Single Ladies because it's sadder. And also, then we also see like a bus kind of creeping into like near the Javits Center, like that area really far west, like near Hudson. And this bus, like people start getting off and there's these two young girls. So we almost think we might be getting a flashback, like are these like Carrie and Samantha or something when they're young? And then the girls go like, well, nice to meet you. It's been nice like sitting next to you even though you're a stranger on this bus and we turned out to chat. Anyways, I gotta go. I just got my first big job as an assistant to Carrie Bradshaw. And the other one goes like, oh my God, that's amazing. I wish I had any career. I'm still trying to figure out my personal life. I have to track down my crazy only biological aunt in this big city. And she's like, well, I wish you luck with any of that. And the other one's like, yeah, I wish you luck too with any of your stuff. And then they part and we're like, interesting. I wonder where this will go.
Who are these girls? Who are these strangers on a bus?
And then
who's playing the assistant? I feel like Sydney Sweeney is one of them.
Wait, who is that again? Let me look that up. Sometimes I'm
She's on Euphoria and she's in The White Lotus. She's like the blonde daughter in The White Lotus.
Who is she in Euphoria?
In Euphoria, she's like the kind of like the slutty girl with a big boob.
I love that girl. Oh my God. Cassie. Mm-hmm. She's Cassie. I'm obsessed with Cassie in Euphoria and I literally feel sexual towards her.
Same. I think she could be Carrie's assistant.
Totally. She could.
And yeah.
Yeah. She definitely has that kind of danger to her, but also this sort of like vulnerability or like sadness that you do naturally like have a soft spot for her.
You want to trust her and you want to help her, but she is plotting.
Yes, exactly. And yes, because she herself is damaged, and so she doesn't know how to not be an assassin because that was never taught to her. And then I could see Samantha's niece, of course. I mean, the short list, like the names that come to mind are like Lily Collins, who else?
I love Lily Collins, like a brunette, like a blonde and a brunette getting off the bus together.
Totally.
It's like a powerful image.
It's a powerful tableau, right? It's a famous, famous tableau. A blonde and a brunette standing next to each other is one of the most famous images in America.
It truly is an American image. So these girls, they get off the bus, they say goodbye, and they go their separate ways. And then we're back at the funeral. Maybe we're at the funeral, like, after party or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
People mill about and, like, have small bites and stuff.
Yeah, that's fun. And it's, like, at Miranda's, like, Brooklyn spot, like, her apartment. And there's people having small... There's kind of, like, a comedy scene between the gays, the two gays that get married in the second one. What are their names again?
Yes, Stanford and Anthony are there together. Do they have, like, a baby together?
They definitely have, like, octuplets. They're octomoms. But make it gay.
Their IVF went off the rails and they ended up with literally octuplets.
Yes, and everyone's making...
And thank God they're wealthy so they can deal with it, but it hasn't been easy.
Yes, yes, yes. And Charlotte's, like, obsessed, but they're like, it's ruining our marriage. And Charlotte's like, that's fine. You're going to get better. It's going to get better. And then... Okay, cool. So they...
And I think... Yeah, I think we find out, too, that Steve's... testicular cancer came back.
Oh,
and that's
yeah.
like what happened.
Yeah.
We can have like a powerful message about like, you know, make sure you go to your doctor's appointments and stuff. This can happen to men. Yeah.
Yeah. Be aware of what's going on with your body, etc. Yeah. But I want the exposition of that. And I'm sure it would be anyways. I don't have to say it, but I want the exposition to be incredibly clunky. Like literally it's like Carrie being like, I'm so sorry that Steve's testicular cancer came back again. And Miranda's like, it's okay. He just didn't always go and get it checked to make sure it wasn't coming back. And Carrie's like, yeah, I'm so sorry. And now Brady is, your mom is going to adopt him because it's too much for you. And Miranda's like, yeah, pretty much.
Well, Miranda's mom is dead.
Okay, I'm humiliated.
She died. No, the reason I know that is because I like recently just revisited like that episode too. It's like where Carrie's computer goes like belly up, and then that's also the episode where Miranda's mom died.
That's so funny because I must have seen that episode because I remember Carrie being like, everyone backs up their computers. This is crazy. But I don't, but my brain remembered that but deleted like the Miranda's mom dying storyline.
It was weird. It was like the only time we ever really got into like the main character's family members.
Yeah.
Like, I guess we maybe saw Charlotte's brother once, but it was just like, it was always kind of weird and too close for comfort when we edged into that territory.
It's always struck me as strange that we don't know anything about Carrie's parents. She never mentions them. Like, we never really see them. Like, right? Does she ever talk about them?
No. I think she just like, I feel like she just came into being at Limelight on the dance floor.
Yes.
When she was like 21 years old. Like, she never had a child.
Yes,
then.
She was very much
arrived.
She was begotten. She was begotten. Yes.
So this can make it all the more kooky and spooky that Samantha's niece is like coming back to really like inject herself into the lady's life.
Yes, 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 yes. Wait, so I have a question. Wait, so do you think that Miranda should still have Brady? Because, like, sometimes for me with the kids, I'm like, I don't want any of them to have kids.
I think, like, maybe Brady is at college and she's like, thank God Brady's, like, here but at college and, like,
I just had an idea. Okay, so Brady being basically old at this point actually Tinder matches with Carrie's assistant at the end of the movie, his thing is like he can't find love, and randomly, like, Brady gets a storyline, and basically the assistant, like, towards the end of the movie, like during hour 7, basically kidnaps Brady and is like holding him hostage and is like, Carrie, I swear, okay, to Carrie, you come here by yourself.
God,
or he dies.
Kill Brady.
I'll fucking kill Brady right the second you call the police. I'll kill Brady. You tell anyone, I'll kill Brady. You can wear a wire, I'll kill Brady. And Carrie's like, okay, I'm coming. Tell me where to
meet
you.
I love this. And we, at the funeral, like, thing at Miranda's apart, or at her Brooklyn place, we see Brady. He's just, like, on his phone, constantly swiping.
Yes.
Obsessed with love. Like, he wants a girlfriend so badly. He's had, like, a lot of dating woes. And, like, Carrie can even be like, how's Brady taking it? And you just, like, cut to him and he's on his phone. Miranda's like, he doesn't even realize, he's more concerned about, like, getting a girlfriend.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
So that takes care of him. He's just like,
his storyline is like phone addiction slash like love addiction slash like is kidnapped eventually. Okay, perfect. And then
I think we have, I think Miranda goes through, like, this is her, like, Juliette Binoche, like, blue moment where she just, like, gets rid of, she's like gonna get rid of the apartment.
Yeah.
She is like a total life change. She's like, nothing, as for me, nothing means anything anymore.
Yeah.
And like, I don't want to be reminded of this life that I built with this other person.
Yes. It's very much like they do the thing where, like, she's like manic at first, like throwing everything out. She's like, I just want it to be clean. I just want it to be clean. And then eventually Carrie's like, Miranda, snap out of it. What's going on? And she breaks down and she's like, everything I look at reminds me of him, Carrie. Everything I look at. The knife block. The refrigerator. The DVR remote. He's all those things. And I can't do it. So I'm throwing them out. And Carrie's like, doesn't answer, but she just takes the DVR remote and throws it in the trash. And it's like, she's going to help her. She's going to help her.
Yeah. She's going to help her. So Miranda is selling, and this is like the what happens like right after the funeral. Like, everyone goes home and then Miranda's like in her manic panic. And then I think we cut to like Charlotte. I think we got to go to Charlotte.
Yeah.
Maybe we see her in the studio.
So I almost had this thought with Charlotte. It's like, maybe it's like she's just like never been quite fulfilled. And like, maybe like on, we see her in, Harry walking up to the funeral, and she's like, we just tell she's like miserable, and like Harry says something to, and she like bites his head off, and it's like she just, and like the daughter is like running around, she's like, I'm so, she's trapped in her life, it seems, and she's unhappy. And then, but then it's like when Liza's singing Say Something, I'm Giving Up on You, Charlotte actually also does a duet with Liza and like gives this haunting, beautiful, like, rendition of, like, Say Something, I'm Giving Up on You.
She gets up from her seat in the funeral.
Yeah, yes.
And, like, slow walks to the stage. And she's just singing with no mic, but has just the vocal projection of a true Adele.
Yes.
And, like,
and Liza's, like, loving it and living for it. And then basically we see it kind of click with Charlotte, where it's, like, this is the most alive I've felt in 25 years. And then she's, like, in the bathroom powdering her nose, like, towards the end of the funeral. And, like, Liza comes out of the stall and was like, you have like, some pretty good chops, kid. Take this card for my producer. He's going to want to hear you.
Totally. Yeah. And even Carrie, I think Carrie could go up to her, too, and be like, Charlotte, what was that?
Yeah.
And she's like, what? I just was feeling moved. Like, it seems to have worked out. And she's like, I mean, it was beautiful, but do you think that's the place? And then, like, and then Samantha's like, well, funerals are such a drag. It's nice to have someone mix it up.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
They have kind of mixed reactions. And so Charlotte, she's winning at the end of the day, like, with this card. And yeah.
And just because, like,
she's like,
wait, sorry.
Carrie's like, oh, sorry. She's like, Steve may have died, but Charlotte had a new lease on life. Like,
yeah. But something else. Oh yeah, Steve might have died, but a star was born. And also, like, because they just need to fill it. They just need the movie to be 19 hours long. Like, for no reason, they make Carrie and Charlotte for like 25 minutes of the movie be in a fight about like if Charlotte was in the right singing at the funeral, and they like make up halfway through the movie and it doesn't affect anything, and it was complete waste of everyone's time, like when they got mm-hmm. like when they got in a fight in Dubai and like it didn't matter ultimately.
Yeah, I mean, I can't even like remember it.
Yeah.
Oh, when Charlotte was like mad at her and for making out with Aiden or something.
Yeah, and I think they like yelled at each other in the elevator at some point, and then it ended with Miranda and Charlotte like drinking champagne, talking about how they hated their kids, and it was like an amazing yeah. message to moms. It's like, yeah, you can drink champagne and hate your kids. Like, it's called life. It's called being a woman. So it's called being
totally fine.
It's called still being a woman. Never heard of it. And okay, so yeah, they're like in a fight about that.
Yeah, and it's like Housewives style, like where it just gets litigated for like 40 episodes.
Yes.
Okay. So Charlotte, I think, is like in the studio or like arriving to the studio, and she's kind of like timid, like doesn't know what to expect.
Yeah.
And like knocks on the door. And I think this like seasoned music producer, yeah. like very kind of like old school type of music producer, yeah. is like, get in here, kid. Like,
yeah.
And they start asking her to like sing.
Yeah. And I think we get someone like huge, like a huge name to play the music producer. Like, someone you like never expect necessarily to be attached to the project, like the kind of person where someone that so you hear who's in it, like, do you know that person's in the new Sex and the City? But I'm trying to think of like
mind goes like to like Al Pacino or Robert De Niro.
Literally my mind went to Robert De Niro.
Okay, great.
Okay,
Robert De Niro plays this music producer.
He's Liza's music producer, who Liza connected Charlotte with because she sang amazingly at Steve's funeral. So mm-hmm. so yeah, oh yes.
And he's now gonna, I think he becomes like kind of a Svengali, like he's shaping Charlotte's image, and maybe her journey is really like, how do I get out from under the thumb of this like music producer guy who's trying to like control my life.
Totally. Like all of a sudden she's like, this isn't me. None of this is me. I love Harry and my daughter. And he's like, you can't love them and be a famous musician. And she's like, I think I'm gonna be going back to the gallery pretty soon. That's like at the end of the movie. Totally. But in this, like, everything's still good, and they have this amazing session where she like, wow, like her first three tries, like laying down a track, it's like not good. And he's like, kid, you have the pipes, like you have the talent, but your problem is you don't believe the song. So I want you to think about something that actually matters to you. And so she thinks about her daughter and sings the song, and he's jaws on the floor. And he was like, that was the most beautiful singing I've ever heard in my life. And mm-hmm. that's going to come back later, where she's like, I forgot what it was that I cared about from the beginning of all of this, which is my daughter. You know what I mean?
Her number one inspiration in life. Yeah, her kids.
Her kids. Yeah. Okay, cool. So I love that scene.
And then, I love that too. And he's like, finally, when she makes his, like, when she wows him, he's like, all right, we got to book you. Like, we got to book you a show.
Yeah. Yeah. And for some reason, I'm saying it is because I saw the movie Star is Born, but I'm seeing her doing SNL as, like, the musical guest at some point.
Totally. And maybe she could even start like a TikTok or have some sort of social media presence that goes like, she does like Olivia Rodrigo style, like a TikTok song. She releases this totally. Song about her daughter that becomes like an explosive success. And as a result of that, she's booked on SNL.
Yes, she like sweeps
to perform the song like Daughter Love.
Daughter Love. and she's also mononymous, so she's just known as Charlotte to the world. And everyone's mm-hmm. like, "Did you hear Charlotte's? Did you hear about Charlotte?" And yeah, and all the girls.
And I think maybe no one even knows. Yeah, they don't know what she looks like or like how old she is. So it's also, and SNL is the first time that Charlotte is ever unveiled to the world.
Yeah. And the Robert De Niro really wants her to be telling everyone she's 23, and she's like, "No one will believe that. I'm 54." And he's like, "You have to tell yourself you're 23." So she does, and that actually plays into like, basically like, she starts hanging, like, at some point down the line, like, being 23. Like, all the girls go to support her, and Samantha brings her at SNL, and Samantha brings her niece, and Carrie brings her assistant, and the niece and the assistant think they're the same age as her. Like, it's for no reason. Everyone believes that she's 23, and mm-hmm. Carrie and Samantha start to get annoyed because Charlotte's, like, always on, like, always, like, hanging out with the young girls and always doing, like, kind of going to the club with them and doing TikTok and stuff with them.
Yeah, she's true. She's a star. She's, like, the young, hot star on the scene, and everyone just buys into it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
Love that.
I love that, too.
Okay, so Samantha, I think it's, like, it's Monday in the office, and, like, Samantha is just, like, doing her PR stuff, and there's a knock on the door, and...
Yeah.
It's the niece who showed up.
This is so stupid, but for some reason I just see this scene opening on, like, Samantha's doing her PR stuff in her office, and then she just, like, frowns and, like, goes over to her and, like, takes something out of her folder and looks at it, and we see it's just, like, a picture of Steve, and just, like, as a friend, she's just, like, mourning him. She's just, like, feeling a little sad that Steve is dead, because, like, they just mm-hmm. want to, like, do that, and then she puts it away, and then all of a sudden someone's, like, knock, knock, am I interrupting anything? And she's, like, no, sorry, just, was just thinking about a friend. Come in then. And
I love that she keeps pictures of her friend's husband in folders.
Yes.
You never know what Samantha's going to pull out of her desk.
And it's literally like a headshot almost. And it's like, why do you have that? Mm-hmm. And why did he
it's
even
have
it?
Beautiful portrait. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then she's like, are you... Samantha Jones.
Yeah. And Samantha's like, you. Samantha's like, I'm sorry. You were supposed to be in the wardrobe closet, or you're supposed to be, like, the interns are that way. You need to be going that way. This office is only for high level PR executives.
Yeah. And the upper management.
And the girl's like,
see yourself out.
The girl's like, no, I think you have it all wrong. I think you have it all wrong. I think you have it all wrong. And Samantha's like, have it all wrong? What do you mean? And she's like, I think you might be my aunt. And Samantha's like, excuse me?
And then I think we immediately cut to Carrie and she's like working with her assistant, like she's showing her the ropes of like her day to day. So she's like, you know, from 9 to 10, you from like 9 to 11, you're gonna check emails. Like, what does even Carrie have to do? Like, it's literally you just her last assistant just read her emails for her.
Read her,
and, like,
yes.
Categorize them.
Yes, and like briefly, like organized her shoes in her closet.
Oh yeah, and redecorated her apartment. So I guess she has her assistants do a lot of things.
So
she's like,
but I agree. She's like kind of on the computer, but I do think that like we kind of let the audience know what's going on by. At one point, Carrie's like gets up and she's like, I gotta go to the bathroom. Be right back. And she goes and we just see the assistant. Like, we don't know what she's doing, but she gets up and she's just like looking around and she's looking through Carrie's folders and she's trying to find something and we don't know. But we just know that she's like sneaking around her apartment trying to look for something. And we're like, what the fuck is this girl's deal?
Yeah, this is a breach. And maybe even like Big walks in at some point and the assistant, he and the assistant, like she introduces herself to him. And that's also sketchy. And that, like when Carrie comes out of the bathroom, she sees like Sydney Sweeney and Big talking and she's like instantly a little bit ruffled by that.
Totally. Yes. I totally see the scene eventually where like Big walks in and she's like kind of sitting on a desk in this like red gown with a high slit with her like kind of legs kind of spread, like almost like in What Lies Beneath or something. And she's kind mm-hmm. of like, hey, you know what I mean? And Big is like, this can't be happening. And she's like, shut up. I know you look at my boobs all the time. And she kind of is like totally. This psycho seductor. Like she's a psycho seductor style eventually.
This is the hand that rocks the cradle.
Yeah. Yes, yes, yes. Exactly.
I think also maybe, okay, so we see like the assistant and she's like sketchy. And then I think at one point like her apartment floods or is like it's overtaken by roaches or there's some sort of infestation. And then Carrie, because she's just like nice, is like, well, we have an extra bedroom. Like, do you want to just stay here while your apartment gets fixed?
Yeah.
And then that's how she, like, gets in and is, like, living with them.
Yes. Yes. That's really fun. And it's, like, Carrie, like, actually feels really good about it. She's, like, I love her. I think she's really great. And Samantha's, like, with that rock, she wouldn't be caught dead living under the same roof as my man. And they're all, like, be careful, you know, like don't have a hot girl near your husband too much. You never know what might happen. And Carrie's, like, nothing's gonna happen, actually.
Yeah, I think she and Big probably haven't had sex in years. And, like, he's so old now. It's like, is he even sexual? And that might be a big problem in their relationship. And, like, I think maybe Carrie's also working on a new book. So that's why she needed an assistant.
Oh,
she's, like,
yeah,
writing a book about, you know, getting into, like, your twilight years with, like, your love. And is love all it's, is, like, long-lasting love all it's cracked up to be?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so she just needs, like, this girl here to deal with her emails so she can write a sentence or two. Yeah.
Yes, that is exactly what the girl's job is. Yeah.
And then she's like, it's actually great that she's living here because now she can just take over everything. I can focus on my book. And, like, she's really motivated. Like, and I think it's great.
So then, okay, so then we can go back to, like, Miranda being really depressed, like, in her room, like, eating basically ice cream. And, like, she's just, like, searching around Netflix for something to watch because she's so depressed. And she ends up finding Alone or like, Naked and Afraid or something. And she starts watching them. And she's, we just see her kind of, like, connecting with these people. And maybe someone says something like, yeah, I used to be a lawyer. And I was just, what, I was dead inside. And she's kind of, like, all she has left is her TV. Her whole apartment's basically, like, empty besides it. And then, of course, like, yeah, Brady walks through the background and he's, like, swiping, swiping. And he's, like, not finding a date, not finding a match. Swiping, swiping, swiping.
Yeah. And then Miranda, like, goes online. She also just has, like, a laptop, a comforter, and, like, her television. And she looks up survivalist group, like, meetups, and finds one in the park. Yeah. And so she, like, I think she could show up, like, the next day and get a crash course in,
yes,
you know, rubbing sticks together, foraging for berries. Like, we see her really getting into these, like, group meetups.
Yes, yes, yes. But it's also, like, it's survivalist, but also just randomly, because it's, like, Darren Star, it's, like, very chic, and everyone's drinking, like, cocktail, like, very, like, colorful cocktails, and, like, everyone has, like, a fashion moment on, but they're also, like, survivalists, and they're just talking about, like, how to skin a squirrel.
Yeah, I think also it's, like, Miranda's so type A that she could learn all the survival tactics that she needs within, like, a few weeks and be ready to go on Alone.
Yes.
Like, I could see her just going, like, deciding to be on Alone at, like, by act two of the movie.
Totally. And, like, she brings Carrie to the meetup, so, like, it's kind of them walking around together, and Carrie is, like, looking at sticks, and she'd be like, I don't think this is what I meant when I said I wanted a dildo. And she, like, puts the stick down. And then
Carrie's putting sticks, like, in her hair. Like, you see her just, like, she's really worked them into her outfit. And she's like, sweetie, are you sure that you like the outdoors? Like, I never knew you as an outdoors kind of girl.
And Miranda's, and, like I'm a different person than I used to be. And then she kind of wants to change the subject. She's like, and but anyways, when was the last time you and Big had sex? And Carrie's like, he is not that sexual anymore ever since he got over 65.
Yeah, she's like, that ship has sailed.
Yeah, yeah.
She's like, sex toys are my best friend and I'm not looking back.
And she's like,
and she's like, and honestly, I'm so busy, like, I don't think about it that often.
Yeah, and then and she's like, well, that's why you have an assistant. You need to be using your assistant more. And Carrie's like, I know, I am. I really am.
Yeah. And then and we cut to, I think we're, like, back to Charlotte now.
Yeah, oh, definitely. So has...
Oh, I think it's, like, time for SNL.
Yeah, so at this point, like, Charlotte has swept the nation. And, but there is definitely one shot of, like, her daughter, like, I mean, how old is her daughter now? Like, 23. They have a younger one, maybe two.
Yeah, I think they're, like, one is probably a teenager, like, 14 or something. The other one might be like 18.
Yeah, maybe it's like they're at a family dinner at a restaurant and, like, they're all trying to eat and Charlotte's phone keeps ringing and she keeps answering it and she's like, sorry, this is my agent, just one more second before we order. And she keeps being like talking and she's like, oh my god, and they're all getting like more and more annoyed. And then finally she's like, oh my god, you guys, I got SNL, I'm performing on SNL as the musical guest. And they're all like happy for her, but we could see in their eyes, they're like, this is getting a little annoying. Like, where's the Charlotte we know and love? Like, where did she go?
Mm-hmm. Maybe one of the girls is even like, Mom, PTA meetings are like that night, or there's like some fundraising gala for their school. And she's like, well, honey, daddy can go to it. It's not like I have to do everything.
Yes.
She's like, I have to have a career.
Yeah.
Like, this is my chance.
Yeah.
Aren't you happy for me? Don't you want this for me?
Yeah. And they're like, yeah, no, you're right. We are happy for you. You should do this. And she's like, good. And then they kind of all eat. And there was kind of this like weird like moment of silence as they all start like eating the bread or something on the table.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Maybe Samantha's just been trying to dodge her niece this entire time. Like, she's like, she's...
So we cut to Samantha's office that's empty except for the niece sitting in, like, the chair across from her desk. And, like, we see, like, on the wall, the clock is turning around and around and around. And Samantha's, like, not coming back. And, yeah, so she, like, dodged her niece. And
yeah, she's, like, everywhere she goes in the office, she's, like, keeping a lookout. And, like, the niece is kind of, like, around the corner. And then Samantha, like, darts into another room. And then, like... ends up darting home, like, back to her apartment, and then the niece still shows up, yeah, like, later.
Yes.
She's like, I just want to talk to you. Like, can you please talk to me?
Please, like, yeah, I literally took a bus here from Minneapolis. Like, I don't want anything from you. I promise. I'm 1,000% genuine. I will do a DNA test if that's what you need, but you need to face it that I am your niece, and we need to talk about this. And Samantha's like, and Samantha jumps out her window. She's still not ready. She smashes out her window and like lands on the concrete and like lands in a roll and just like limp runs down the street. And the niece is like,
yeah, it's like a fire escape, like a fire escape jump then into that. And like, it's, she's just like not having it. She's like, Minneapolis.
And then yes. And then I think like when she does like the jump through the window, like as she, like the niece kind of like leans out, Lily Collins leans out and looks down the road and sees Kim Cattrall limp running around a corner, and she's like sad. And like, I think the audience kind of like feels a little like they get it because we know Samantha, but they feel like a little let down. They feel a little bad, like, for Lily Collins. They're almost like, Samantha, come on, just like talk to your niece, you know.
Mm-hmm. And then maybe the girls are like at brunch the next day, and it's like, it's Saturday brunch right before SNL. And
yeah. Oh yeah.
They're talking. Cause we need to like have them. Maybe like Charlotte's video went viral while Carrie and Miranda were at the survivalist thing. So they kind of like touched on it, but then now they're brunching like pre SNL.
Yeah.
And Charlotte's like, I just, like, she orders and she's like, I'll have like a hard boiled egg and like a grapefruit, please. And she's like, I have to be glowing. Like, I have my glam at 2:30 and like we're sound checking at 4:00. So,
yeah. And then the girls all like, Miranda, Samantha, and Carrie all like exchange looks with each other for like literally 45 minutes of the movie. It's just them like exchanging looks, like, what's going on with Charlotte? Yeah. And also when she is.
Yeah. They say, but it's like all unsaid.
Yeah.
But just like conversation.
Yeah. And also when at the survivalist thing in the park, like when basically the way that they find out that Charlotte's going viral is because everyone like in Gossip Girl or something keeps getting like texts at the same time and looking down and like, oh my God, Charlotte's like, they all get texts at the same time. Everyone in the whole park, they see everyone in the whole park is looking at their phone and they look down. Mm-hmm. It's just like, for some reason, like on TV shows where it's like, that's not how viral works. It's just like, they look down at their phones and it's like a video of Charlotte just like singing. And like, then there's like a million comments coming up being like, love her. This is amazing. Oh my God. Love this. Love this. But I guess like there's like a darkness. Like, it's just Charlotte's silhouette because like, Robert De Niro.
Just hair and like a voice.
Yeah.
And you really don't know anything else.
And, like,
and maybe
is
even
that?
Like, someone puts it on like is background music for the survivalist thing. Yeah. So it's just like playing in the background and people are talking about it. And Carrie's like, this is crazy. Yeah. Right?
Okay. So that was the morning of it. So anyways, back to the brunch. That was the morning of SNL.
The morning of SNL. Samantha's covered in scratches. Yeah, yeah. and has like wounds. And they're like, what's going on with this? And she's like, I have a stalker, ladies.
And Carrie's like, oh my God, are you serious? That's so bad. But then like we see something click in her where she's like, wait, do I have a stalker? And is it my assistant? And maybe like the waitress comes over to take their order and like whatever clears the dishes then. But then like randomly the camera follows the assistant back into the kitchen and she like takes off her wig and it's Carrie's assistant. Sydney. It's Sydney.
Okay, yeah. It was a waitress in a total, like, Mission Impossible, like, rubber face.
And it's still, like, it's still so unclear, like, what her goal is in all of this. You know what I mean? Like, we don't know.
Yeah, we don't know until the end, I feel like. And I think even Samantha's, like, my stalker. And someone's like, is that her? And they point out the window and Lily Collins is just, like, standing there, like, dying to talk to Samantha. And she's like, yeah, she won't leave me alone. Yeah, she said she's my niece and like and they're like, she looks perfectly nice, like maybe you should just talk to her. And she's like, talk to her, what is there to say?
Yeah,
like she just is so freaked out.
And they definitely do a pun where they're like, she looks really nice, and she goes, she looks really nice and that's bad. And it's like, okay. Okay, cool. So then we go to SNL and basically, maybe Big is at SNL.
I think everyone's there to support. Like, it's a huge, like, all the families. The Brady's there.
The gays Brady's and the gays and the octuplets. The gays are there with all their octuplets, and they keep, like, interrupting the show.
They're in a whole row. They take up a whole row, and Stanford is on one end, and Anthony's on the other, and they're constantly, like, Anthony's like, be quiet, be quiet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, covering their mouth.
They're whisper shouting. And Carrie's like, I could never, I don't know, hey, I love the gays, but I could never have octuplets. And they're like, yeah. Let's watch the show. And it's like, okay, cool, Carrie, nice line. And then,
like, I think even Samantha could have left the brunch, and then she's like, if you want to see me, you can show up at 30 Rock tonight, 7 p.m. And like, then, so the niece is now at SNL. Oh, with, yeah. Samantha.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, that's just smart. There.
And maybe Sydney, like, poisoned some of Carrie's food at the restaurant. Like, we see her, like, dropping something into the food. And so Carrie starts feeling sick.
Yeah.
At SNL.
Yeah, so...
And, like, has to leave.
So she has to leave, and she kind of gets, like, lost in the background of 30 Rock because it is so confusing there. She's trying to find a bathroom or something to throw up in. And then all of a sudden, like, she sits back down in, like, huge sunglasses and her same hair. But then, like... And she's like, hey, Big, I'm so glad to be back sitting next to you. And Big's like, yeah, sweetie, I'm watching the show. And then, like... She lowers her glasses, and I see that it's Sydney Sweeney, and she's, like, looks directly at camera, and she, like, squints, and then she puts her sunglasses back on, so no one can tell that it is.
Yeah, she could even touch his hand.
Yeah.
Like, she's like, hi, and, like, then he looks, and it's her, and he's so freaked out he, like, doesn't say anything, because that's always, like, the man is just so freaked out, he just, like, can't say a word about what happened and would rather just ignore it.
Yeah, so he just ignores the fact that his wife is essentially missing and that, like, her assistant is, like, in her wig.
Assumed her identity.
Yeah. But like,
touched his hand.
He's too freaked out, and it looks like maybe he might say something, but then all of a sudden it's, like, cut to, like, Kristen Stewart being like, and tonight, and give it up for your musical guest, Charlotte. And then, like, the music starts.
Yeah, and Charlotte gives a haunting and powerful performance of Love My Daughters, or My Daughters.
Love Daughter Love. Love Daughter Love.
And it actually, she even does, like, a dance. It's like a dance remix. Like, it starts as, like, a slow kind of ballad and then becomes a dance remix. And she's doing, like, Dua Lipa-esque dance moves.
Yeah, yeah.
In, like, custom outfits. And she just, like... kills it.
Yes, and she has almost even like a Mentos moment. You know, like the Mentos commercials where like she has a wardrobe malfunction a la Lil Nas X, but like she mm-hmm. does some little weird adjustment where it becomes a huge, like, amazing, like, fashion moment and everyone's obsessed with it. Like, her boob falls out, but she, like, puts a pasty on it, and then all of a sudden, like,
Oh, my God, totally.
Cut to a million magazine covers being, like, Charlotte rocks a pasty at SNL, and then it's, like, all the other celebs are wearing pasties or something like that.
Yeah, when she, like, turns around, she, like, does a quick turn, her boob just, but she thankfully has a pasty right on hand to just slap it on, so by the time she completes the turn, it's just Lil' Kim style, one tit out with a pasty.
Yeah, yeah. And then it's, like, back, and Lil' Kim's like, okay, I literally invented that.
And there's tons of think pieces, too, that's, like, like, she becomes such a huge celebrity, they're, like, is she, like, stealing ideas from, like, Lil' Kim? Like, what's going on?
Yeah.
And she's, like, she has just ascended. And now, like, I think by the time everyone's at the SNL after party, like, there's a moment where the girls are, like, standing around Charlotte and they're all talking. And then, like, a bunch of other, like, celebrities come up and they're like, Charlotte, oh, my God. Like, that was amazing. Like, take a pic with me for Insta. And she's, like, sucked in and then doesn't talk to the women for the rest of the night.
Yeah that's amazing. Is this, and then
maybe even a press, like a guy, like a reporter is like, how does it feel to be just 23 and at like the start of your incredible music career? And she's like, well, and Carrie, they do like the eye thing again, and Carrie's like,
and
like,
and
she's like, it feels incredible.
And she like pauses and she looks behind the interview and she sees Harry and her daughter is like looking at her like shaking their heads like, you're not 23. And she looks at them and then she like looks away and is like, it feels incredible to be 23 and starting my career. And is this then when, like, I don't know if this is like getting too ahead, but like, is this then when they're like, let's do a group shot, like, Miranda, where's Brady? And Miranda's like, oh yeah, he was just right here, like, he was just right here, where is Brady? And like, we can't find Brady. And then all of a sudden, like, is this when we see Brady's, like, in a warehouse, like, tied up in a chair, like, and Sydney has him?
I think so. Or he could even be, like, maybe he is, like, mom, like, I got a match.
Yeah, and,
like,
oh, yeah.
She wants to meet, like, is it okay? Are you okay if I leave?
Yes, that's so much, like, better.
And she's, like, sure, like, go off, have fun. Like, don't stay out too late or whatever.
So he just, like, leaves to do that. And we don't know where he's going, like...
Yeah, and I think maybe the next day Miranda is, like, taking off for a loan. Like, does she get on a loan and then, like, have to decide?
Oh, my God.
Do I come back? Like, do I tap out to save my son? Or do I, like, trust that everything will be okay and I just have to, like, be alone right now?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah, that is... Yeah, so she leaves for a loan. So basically we see...
This is their last night. So it's like, it's celebrating Charlotte, but celebrating Miranda's last night is like being alone.
And also, like, Carrie's book is about to come out. So, like, they're celebrating that. And they're...
Yeah, she finished, like, the final draft or turned in, like, the final draft or something.
And and so maybe, like, we then see he's going to his date. We stay on the girls. Maybe that's, like, after he says the date, I gotta go to my date before, like, the Charlotte interview where she says she's 23 and everyone gives weird looks. And so then we can cut away to Carrie's, maybe, I guess, still, like, throwing up in a bathroom in the back of 30 Rock or something. And then we see, like, Brady, like, looking on his map and he, like, walks into this giant dark warehouse where he's supposed to meet his date. He's like, hello? Shelly, are you here? Shelly, hello? And then, like, a big net falls on him or something.
Or, like, someone puts a bag over his head.
Yeah. And then cut away to Miranda being like, I guess, like, the next morning, Miranda's, like, has, like, her survival kit on her back and she's, like, about to go to a loan. And she goes to say goodbye to Brady, but she sees the bed isn't made and she kind of raised her eyebrows like, wow, he finally had sex like he's been wanting to this whole time. And, like, that's so amazing. I'm going to go. And the producers of Alone will eventually tell her, like, listen, your son has been kidnapped, but you will not be allowed back in the competition if you come back to, like, help save him.
Totally. And I think we even, like, get Miranda's intro, like, Alone style, so it's shot in, like, reality and it kind of gives her background and we see her, like, shooting squirrels out of the tree in Central Park and, like, it's yeah. it's a moment where we drop into the alone of it all.
Definitely.
And she's now in like the Arctic wilderness, just like trying to build
yeah.
her shelter.
Yeah.
She's like, the first thing I'm going to focus on, of course, is shelter.
Yes, yes, yes. And
I think Carrie, like we need, I think Carrie needs to like come home. Maybe something's like happened with her draft. Maybe her computer crashed again and the email never of her final draft like never went through.
Yeah.
And she, now, yeah.
They're like, excuse me, Carrie, the book's coming out tomorrow. Like we didn't get your email yet where you were sending us the draft to print it and it's supposed to be coming out tomorrow. And she's like, no, I had my assistant send that yesterday. And they're like, we never got any book from you. And she, like, sprints home to, like, send it herself.
Yeah, and she realizes, like, her computer is crap. Her computer's down. Like, she can't log in to even, like, open up her laptop and log in. Like, she doesn't know her passwords or anything. And maybe at this moment, like, I would love, I have this image in my head of, like, Carrie coming home or, like, Big coming home and seeing, like, Sydney with her curly hair, like typing at the computer with like a cigarette in her hand.
I know.
And it's almost like she is Carrie. But
oh,
not
I know.
Carrie.
Yeah, that is so good. Okay, so maybe like we still leave, like we know that Bree is kidnapped by someone. We still don't know.
We don't know exactly like
what the deal
what's
is.
Happened.
Yeah, we just.
Yeah, or maybe we haven't seen him get kidnapped yet. He just left. And then we see his bed is like unmade the next morning, but Miranda's like, he got laid. And then maybe she texts Carrie like, someone had like a wild night out. She texts the girl.
Yeah.
She likes to keep them up to date yeah. on
Brady.
Brady's like sexual activity.
So yeah. So I like that. So do you think Big or Carrie walks in and sees her smoking?
I think maybe it's.
It's Big.
Big again. Yeah. And he's like, hey, baby, like you look so hot. Like. You're smoking again or something like he makes
yeah.
like a
he goes to kiss
inside.
He goes to kiss her and then he like he kind of comes up behind her and like rat like spoons her kind of and he's like, baby, I love it when you smoke like you used to. And then he goes to kiss her and then like just before he realizes it's the assistant, he's like, whoa, what? And she's like, shh, let yourself. And she
kisses him.
And he starts like letting himself kiss her kind of, but he like but
yeah.
within the movie for some reason it's like not his fault because she's a psycho seductress and like that trope.
It's always her fault.
And and
yeah.
Carrie comes in and sees that and she's like, what's going on?
And he is a boner. I think even at SNL when she like touches his hand he gets a boner for the first time and we realize like Big is actually he can get turned on.
Yeah.
And this girl is doing it. Yeah. And that at that moment when Carrie's like sprinting home to figure out like what the fuck happened with her manuscript.
Yeah.
I think she's also just sick from here on out in the movie. She's
yeah.
like always barfing. She's like getting a little bit poisoned with like
yes.
more and more every passing day. So it's like she's sprinting but then stopping at a trash can to like throw up and like
yeah.
she's just wrecked by this.
Yes.
And then comes in and lo and behold Sydney and Big are like in an embrace.
Yeah. Yeah. And she doesn't know what to do so she like starts throwing.
And Sydney's wearing her clothes.
Yeah,
she, like
yes, yeah. She's wearing the farmer girl outfit from from Forever 21. And Carrie's like, that's my favorite piece from my shopping destination, Forever 21 near Union Square. And so then
fast fashion. Some people hate it. I love it.
And then she like pushes her out the window. And like the girl falls and like we kind of think she's dead, but in a good way, like it feels like the villain died and like Carrie's
they
like,
get in a physical. Yeah. A physical fight breaks out.
Yeah. Like do you watch Buffy?
Yeah.
Do you know season 3, the finale where she like came to Faith's apartment and she needs to get Faith's blood to feed to Angel to cure the poison?
I feel like I do remember that. It's been so long.
Totally. I think it aired in 2001. But basically that to me is like on the mood board for what their fight is. Like it's a fight truly to the death. And they like know each other's numbers. Like they know each other so well inside and out that it's like fighting themselves. And then finally mm-hmm. like Carrie kicks her out, does a high kick into her face, and she goes flying out the window, but she lands on like a garbage truck that's driving by, and the truck drives away. So we're just kind of assuming she's dead, but we don't like know for sure.
Yeah. Lands like on her back, and then yeah, we don't get any follow up. And Big is like, what the hell are you doing? Like, they then get in a fight.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he's like, you can't just be like throwing people out of windows.
He's like,
and she's like, you can't just be making out with people who are trying to like ruin my life.
And he's like, do you trust me or not after all these years? And she's like, I guess I don't know. And then, okay, so.
She's like, good question.
So at this point now, maybe we could,
at this
maybe we go check in with Samantha and her niece.
I like that her plot line thus far has just been like, I can't have a, like, I could see it being just the most like, I truly just cannot have a conversation with this person. And then the resolution is like, they talk.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah. So Samantha basically
maybe Carrie like calls Samantha, like she's, it's like an, it's like she's like 911, like emergency, like all the shit has gone down. And then the niece somehow, like the niece is able to help both Carrie and Samantha, and that's how like she's let into Samantha's life.
Yeah, yeah. Or okay, or it could be like basically we think that like the assistant has Brady, but then, like, we see Carrie actually kill the assistant, and she's dead. And we're like, wait, so who is that who has Brady? And then she takes off a similar Mission Impossible mask, and it's the niece. And the niece has Samantha come to meet her. And she's like, the only way that you can save Brady's life is if you come and have a conversation with me. And finally acknowledge me as your true niece, biologically.
Okay, I love this. I'm also seeing, like, I think Sydney's character, like she is a spy of some sort on like a death mission. But then Lily's character is also a spy that was employed to catch. But she also is Samantha's niece. Yes. At the same time.
And she's like, while I'm there, I'm going to track down my aunt. But separate than that, I'm also gonna get the spy,
keeping tabs on this girl,
on the spy. Yeah. Yeah.
So what is, okay, I think we need to figure out like what,
wait,
like why, okay, go.
Okay, this is so stupid, but maybe back to the fight in Carrie's apartment, where like between Carrie and the assistant, where they, it's so hard because they know each other so well, instead of Carrie kicking her out the window, the assistant actually gets the upper hand, and she's holding Carrie's head out the window like she's about to kill Carrie, and all of a sudden we hear like a gunshot, and she's like goes like limp, and then she falls, and we see the niece holding the gun, and she's like, FBI, I've been tracking this spy for the last 3 years, I finally got her. And Carrie's like, oh my god, wait, so are you really Samantha's niece? And she's like, yeah, I am. And
I'm that too. It's weird.
Yeah.
It's a small world. Yeah.
And then, okay, this is like so stupid too, but like maybe then she's like, okay, the assistant had Brady. They find in her phone where Brady is. So she like takes him to get him. But then as soon as she gets there, she like holds the gun. Like all of a sudden the niece is like, no, I'm now taking Brady. And then she gets Samantha to come to meet her to save Brady's life.
Okay. Yeah. So wait, Samantha's niece is more evil than,
not evil, but just like opportunist, like she's like, oh well, okay. I do have this bargaining chip, like maybe this is what I use to finally talk to Samantha. Or do you think that's okay, too complicated? Yeah. Do you think it's too complicated?
It's a little bit confusing.
Okay,
to me,
let's go
like,
back.
Why would she turn to a place of violence to just, it doesn't seem like the way to win Samantha over.
You're right. Let's go back. Okay, so
I like her showing up, like maybe she shows up at Carrie's apartment, shoots Sydney. Sydney falls out the window onto the garbage truck and it rolls away. And you're just like, wow, this girl's dead, I guess.
Yeah.
I think Big at that moment has a heart attack because it's all just too much for him. And so in this confusion, like the ambulance comes, Big's now in the hospital.
And
like,
yes. And Carrie and the niece go because like, you know, when you're there, so you just go with them in the ambulance.
Yeah, and that's when she's like briefing Carrie. She's like, I was deployed by like the CIA on like a special mission. Like this woman, she, what does she do? She like, does she assume the identity of like writers? Is she like working for like Russia? Like what is her purpose?
She assumes the identity of writers and then is like a psycho seductress to their husbands. And she's like always like kind of like single white femaleing different like sex columnists like all around the country.
And she feeds, like, I think she, like, works with Russia or, like, China, like, other governments to feed them, like, important, like, pop culture. Like, they're, and they point to, like, famous women in history who have, like, died or, like, something's happened to them. And,
yeah.
And it's a shocking moment for the audience where they're, like,
oh, my God, it's this bitch.
Yeah. And, or it's just, like, this is, like, the line of a type of woman, especially trained, like, for.
Yes, yes. It's, like, she's in this program. And
yeah. And Carrie's, like, well, she's dead now. And she's, like, she's not. It takes more than just a shot and a fall out of the window to kill her. Like, she's not dead. She's escaped.
Yeah.
And she'll stop at nothing to, like, ruin your life.
Yeah. And then maybe, like, Carrie's sitting in the chair in the hospital in the waiting room waiting for Big to get out of surgery, and all of a sudden like Samantha comes walking in because Miranda doesn't come because she's on alone, and
she's on alone.
Charlotte is like too famous to come to a hospital. So Samantha's like, Carrie, I came as soon as I heard. What happened? And she's like, well, Big had a heart attack when I almost died. And she's like, you almost died? She's like, my assistant almost killed me, but at the last minute someone saved me. And it's someone that I think I want you to meet now, Samantha. And she turns around, and Samantha, and the girl's, the niece is sitting, Lily Collins is sitting in the chair. And Samantha's
with like her arms crossed, like,
yeah. And like, a,
I'm ready.
And I'm ready. Yeah. And like a hat, and one of those like baseball caps that says FBI on it. You know what I mean? And Samantha's like, you saved my friend, didn't you? And the niece is like, yeah, I did. And Samantha's like, maybe I can do this thing after all.
This talking thing
to my niece, this acknowledging my niece thing.
Yeah. And so we get like a moment of them having a coffee and like getting to know each other's life stories, and they couldn't be more different.
Yeah. But they laugh
and they love, I think it like they both bond over the fact that they like love sex.
Yeah like she loves cock so much. It's crazy. She's like, it's so hard being like someone who loves cock so much on the FBI because people do not take you that seriously, but I love this stuff. And Samantha's like, I totally get it.
And she's like you have no idea how hard it is not to fuck every single one of my hot FBI coworkers.
Yeah
And Samantha's like, honey, that's a challenge I couldn't rise to. And like they really connect.
And
I think then we get some pickup shots of Charlotte or of Miranda. Sorry, like alone. Like she's just like killing it. We're like on day 30 or something like that, and she's just like doing great.
Yeah,
she's completely unbothered. Like if you're watching the show, you have like an instinct that she's definitely gonna win.
Yeah,
there are some seasons where you're just like, I know that guy's gonna win.
Yeah, definitely. And
I think maybe that's the moment where like, oh, maybe it's the moment where like a helicopter comes down and lands.
Yeah.
And it's the producers.
Yes.
And it's all shot like Alone style. And like you have like the subtitle, like the crown that's like, producers had to come like talk to Miranda about like a special thing that came up, and they're like briefing her, and they're like, your son is officially missing, and you are needed. This is up to you.
Yeah.
Like, if you leave,
you remove yourself from the competition.
Yeah.
And you're gonna win. And you're gonna win, by the way.
Yeah.
And so,
and it seems like you're doing really well. So the choice is yours.
And yours alone. So she like has this like decision to make, and maybe she like trusts. Maybe she's like, I'm gonna.
I think maybe she's like, I need a day.
Yeah.
And so then she takes just an alone day of like taking stock of things.
Yeah.
And she's filming herself, and she's really weighing like, I miss my son so much. Like, I think about him every day. But it's interesting to me that we're both missing right now. Like, he's been on his journey the same time I've been on mine, and I can't know, like, maybe they're like, you can't know any info, like if you talk to someone else to get more info you're also disqualified. So all we can tell you is like, you either tap out or you're in.
And she's like, and maybe like she comes to this place where she's like, the truth of the matter is I'm missing just like him, and I wouldn't want him to come save me right now because I know I can do it myself. And maybe he needs to do that too. And so she decides to stay and win alone.
Yeah, I think also she like asks for some sort of sign from nature. Like she's, this is a, could be a moment of friendship.
Yeah.
Like where she's like in moments of like, I'm alone now, but in my hardest moments, the people that have been there for me, that have saved me, that have known me so well are my friends. And I wonder if like I can trust them to just like fix the situation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then she sees like a sign in nature, like a bird lands on a tree or something, or she catches like a huge fish, and she's like, this was my sign that I have to like stay here.
Yeah, maybe like in the beginning of the movie, like on the at the funeral, like she's giving a eulogy and she's like, and Frank, I mean Steve, and Steve always loved like you know, the red-tailed hawk, which is only indigenous to very specific areas, and she's not in one of those areas, but she sees one and she's like, the bird shouldn't be here right now, and she's like, oh my god, it's Steve telling me to stay.
Yeah, that everything's gonna be okay.
Yeah.
And that's so unlike Miranda to just like trust in the universe in that way.
Yeah.
But in this moment, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah, it's her arc ultimately.
Yeah. And then I think Lily is briefing, also has briefed Samantha and Carrie. She's like, Brady Hobbs is missing. Like, he has not shown up to school. Like, he was last seen at the SNL after party and then left for a date and has not been seen since.
And they all at this point have like FBI full FBI outfits on, like they're all like going to go into the, they know he's in the warehouse. So they're all about to break into the warehouse, and the team is Samantha, Carrie, Lily Collins, and Big are all like with all armed FBI agents breaking into this house, and they're on a walkie-talkie, and the head of the FBI is like, I don't want any casualties. We do this thing once, we do this thing right, all right? You do not go until I tell you to go. And so,
can we have like a sting? I wonder if it's like we can have Charlotte participate in like, maybe she
uses
her celebrity to like lure, to like lure someone,
yeah,
to lure Sydney in,
yeah,
or something like that.
Yeah, like Sydney's like, they're like, let us, yeah, yeah, they're like, Sydney's like, do not come in and I'll shoot. And, but Charlotte's like, what about if it's Charlotte, the recording artist? And she's like, oh my god, I'm so sorry, I did not realize it was Charlotte. And
yeah, like we've tried, maybe like Carrie and everyone, they've been trying to get a hold of Charlotte to tell her what's going on. She's like completely unavailable. She's like booked on photo shoots, she's doing press, like she's doing her TikTok, and like Robert De Niro is just cracking the whip on her. And I think there's like a moment where she has that moment where she realizes like, this isn't me.
Yeah, maybe she's
and
like,
I need to like help my friends or something.
Maybe he's like screaming at her to like write a new song. He's like, come up with another hook, another bridge for the song. And she's like, I'm thinking. And then she's like, looks up and there's a TV screen and the news is on, and they're like, sources say this is the warehouse where Brady Hobbs is being held captive at gunpoint by Russian spy Sydney Sweeney. And and so she's like, I can't do this right now, I gotta go. And Robert De Niro's like, you're making a big mistake. And she's like, I think I made a mistake the first time I ever walked into your studio, actually. And then she turns and walks out.
Powerful.
and
she just walks straight to the warehouse.
Yeah, she's like literally down the road. And she's like, guys, I'm here, I can help, I can use my celebrity to help if you need it. And they're like, that actually might be exactly what we need. So she's like, I'm Charlotte, can I come in? I just wanted to like talk to you about like maybe collabing or something. And so Sydney lets her in, and then as soon as she comes in, she's like, go! And then the whole other SWAT team comes, and they all, you know, they do neutralize Sydney ultimately, because she needs to be, unfortunately, she has to be taken out. Needs to be taken out. And, yeah. And
it's a tense, it's a highly tense moment, and then once Brady is safe, like Charlotte, I think, like puts herself, like her own body, in between Brady and Sydney.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And maybe even takes a bullet in the process, like gets clipped in the arm or the shoulder or something.
Yeah, and then there's
Or Sydney, like maybe Sydney lets her in and then she's like, I'm glad you came in because I'm taking you down with me.
Yeah.
And like goes to shoot, like Sydney has two guns and goes to like shoot both Brady and Charlotte, but Charlotte somehow gets her body in between Brady and takes like a bullet in the hand and the foot then like falls to the ground.
Yes. And then they end up saving Brady. The next day, Charlotte wakes up in the hospital and it's like, and the next day Charlotte woke up to the only ovation she ever will want again. And it pans out and it's just like Harry and the kids and the daughters are like in the hospital and Robert De Niro is like not there. And she kind of realizes like, these are my people at the end of the day. And I should have been happy all along with this. I shouldn't have sought out being a famous singer ever.
Yeah. She's like, they don't care that her like two fingers were blown off like in the shootout.
Yeah. Yeah.
They just want their mom back.
Yeah. And then Carrie and Big kind of resolve because Big's like, don't you understand the two times I got boners? It was because she looked like you, Carrie. You're the only broad I ever want to fuck these days. And she's like, maybe that gives me an amazing last chapter to this book I've been desperate to finish. And he's like, didn't it come out yesterday?
Totally.
She's like, yeah, but there's going to be an added chapter in the next edition.
Yeah, well, I think also she hasn't sent, like, her draft was lost, so she does have to rewrite the book in, like, one day.
Yeah.
But she's so, this is actually, it's better this way because it's the ending that she really wanted.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think it's, like, we keep Big in the hospital, like, during the shootout because he's recovering from his heart attack, and Charlotte ends up at the same hospital as him.
Yes.
So then everyone's just, like,
at the hospital. Yeah, and I do think it's, like, the kind of thing where, like, basically the whole beginning of the movie and up to the middle she's like keeps saying how she can't figure out how to end this book, and then at the brunch before Saturday Night Live she's like, yeah, I guess I found an ending, like it's finished, I sent it away to my editor to print, but you know, I'm not thrilled with the ending, I don't think it's amazing. And then it never sends, so she gets an opportunity to actually write this amazing ending and rewrite the whole book.
And I think also we can like lay groundwork over like Lily's character, Samantha's niece, that she's like so like she looks totally opposite of Samantha. Like maybe she's more like normcore kind of looking, or like she's wearing like sneakers and jeans and she's just too casual, and it's like Samantha's like, she can't be related to me. We're so different.
Right,
like, she's just always freaked out. And then even when she sees her in FBI, she's like, you're a cop.
Yeah.
Like, but then they do connect over sex and they realize, like, we are this. We may look different, but we are
exactly
really similar.
We are
too.
Exactly the same at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
And yeah, that really. And then I think we just jump to 90 days later. And it's day 118 and Miranda is the last person left. Like she's covered in just like fur pelts and just sitting in her thing. And like the last person drops out of alone and then Miranda wins. And at this whole time, I think Alone has seen higher ratings than ever before because literally Miranda does not know if her son is alive or dead. She has no idea. She just decided to be alone. And she's like, I don't know if my friends are alive. Like, I just don't know anything. I'm just trusting in nature and like letting it guide me and like vibing.
Yeah.
And that's when a helicopter comes down and Brady like repels.
Oh,
and
God.
I think all of her girlfriends, I think they're all covered in fur and they all repel.
Yes. And also the red-tailed hawk swoops down and lands on her shoulder. And a producer's like, how does it feel? You've been alone out here for 122 days. And she looks at the red-tailed hawk and she says, no, I haven't. And she's like, she means like Steve was with her the whole time.
Yeah. And they are all like, Carrie's like jumping up and down, like excited. And Samantha's like, where do you shower? Like, they're all like have their takes on, and Charlotte's like screaming at like a muskrat or something. Yeah, and like, it's just classic Sex in the City. Yeah. And like, it's a real just fashion opportunity for some winter stuff. And then like a heartfelt reunion between Brady and his mother.
And then me, Panna, and them all eating brunch alone style of like skinned squirrel.
Yeah. They're sitting around a fire and like, the fire is their like brunch centerpiece, and they're roasting like squirrels on sticks, and they're catching up.
Yeah.
And Samantha's like, and I never thought I'd be friends with a cop, but here we are.
Yeah.
I'm not just a friend with one, I'm related to her.
And they all like that hysterically.
Yeah. And Carrie's been like fucking bit, like they've been having like great sex again. Charlotte is now like, she's transitioned into like a little more chill version of a career, but she is still singing.
Yeah.
And she's like about to go on tour, but she's taking her whole family with her.
Yeah. She's like, I only ever just wanted to sing from my heart for myself, not for anyone else. And so that's how I'm doing it these days.
Mm-hmm. And it's just like a beautiful, like, we then pan up like into the beautiful Canadian wilderness.
Yeah.
Snow is falling, and it's just like kind of a magical
ending,
wintry moment.
I love it. Mm. I love that movie. Love <this. laughs> That's my favorite. I want
Miranda to be on Alone.
I know. I feel like
she would win.
She would kill it.
Yeah, and she just knows how to do everything.
Mm-hmm. I hope they take our advice. I hope they send her to Alone in just like that season two, which has been greenlit.
That would be gorgeous. What should we call this movie?
Oh gosh.
Sex in the City 3, like Survival of the Fittest.
Survival of the Fittest is good. Single white female, because it's kind of like speaks to like Carrie's situation, also Samantha's situation, because they're both being kind of like single white female in their minds, and then like Miranda's like becoming a single white female, but I guess it doesn't really do Charlotte. Sex in the City, Survival of the Fittest, I think is what I like.
Survival of the Fittest, or like white female single, or no, that's like a little, because I was thinking like Charlotte is a female with a single.
Oh my God. Oh, that is so good, but I don't know how to make it work.
I think it's a little bit, it's a loaded title.
Yeah, it's a little title.
White female single. I don't know if you can go there.
Honestly. I don't know if you can go there. In a title.
Yeah. I'm now Googling like alone sayings and quotes. All these alone quotes are really sad.
I know. Wait, I'm looking at them too.
Or like Sex in the City 3, Going It Alone.
Oh, Going It Alone is kind of fun.
Going It Alone Together. Or something.
Alone Together.
I mean, there was like a TV show.
I know.
That was like Alone Together.
But so what? Ours is a movie. I also would love something that spoke to like this like spy situation, this espionage.
Mm-hmm. Like the cross, Alone in the Crosshairs or something like that.
Yeah, which sounds very much like a good Tom Clancy novel or something.
Mm-hmm. It really brings in like the young male contingency of viewers, where we do cut a lot of trailers that highly focus in on like the action elements of the movie.
Yeah.
I kind of like Alone in the Crosshairs.
I like Alone in the Crosshairs too.
Okay. Sex in the City 3, Alone in the Crosshairs. God, I just need to see anyone actually from Sex in the City on the show Alone.
I know.
Or just every single character on Sex in the City 3. Every single character should compete in Alone and just see who wins.
That would be incredible. I mean, Miranda would absolutely win. I'm trying to think who else would even do. I could see Big doing okay, actually, because his whole thing is like liking his space or something.
Yeah. Like, I want Aiden to compete as well.
But I don't like Aiden. I don't need to see Aiden like showing off on Alone, you know what I mean?
Yeah, because he would maybe like, I think an added element of the movie is that Aiden is also competing on Alone against
Miranda.
Oh my God. And it comes down to like Aiden versus Miranda, like who will win.
Yeah.
And he taps out. It's just like a side thing for the viewers.
And when Carrie gets lowered down in the helicopter and like they greet Miranda, she sees across, like, kind of the island. She, like, sees him, and they just have this, like, loaded eye contact, and it's, like, but then he turns around and goes away, and she's, like, we've gone down that road. We're not doing it here anymore.
Mm-hmm. And it's just an added win for everyone that, like, Miranda beat Aiden and alone.
Yeah.
Because his whole thing is, like, I started taking up survivalist after, like, my heart got broken. He's really, like, laying into, like, the poor me of it all. Like, get over it already. Like, yeah. Carrie didn't want to marry you. Like, it's not that deep.
Yeah.
But he turns it into, like, his whole thing.
Totally.
Well, Pat, thank you so much for being on this journey with me.
Thank you so much for having me. I hope it's a good movie.
I think it's gonna be really good. Like, it has a little bit of everything for everyone, so I would watch it.
I'm so excited.
I'd watch it and I'd love it.
I'm so excited with what we did here today.
Me too. You're a real story genius, as it turns out. Tell everyone where they can find you.
They can find me on Twitter at P-O-R-E-G-A-N, Porregan, and on Instagram at Pat Reegs, P-A-T-R-E-E-G-S.
I love it. Well, until next time,
bye. I'm giving up on you. Say something, I'm giving up on you. Say something. Friend of the Pod Productions.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like wary of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.